portion is Vader, but no real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberal to men everywhere, from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for empowerment by the living you to war in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
Amen. For purpose of emphasis, if you were not in the service on Friday night, where we had a baptism of prosperity, two teachings, part one and two, how many were there that night? It was an awesome time. Were you truly baptized? I said, among other things, revelation is not revelation. Revelation is in degrees. And the degree of revelation at work in you determines the level of your command. It's so important that you get seated and then look at those tapes, get to buy them, and then sit with them, and then you move forward. It takes someone who is moving forward to tell you how to get there. So go there and find out that you can't afford to remain at the ankle deep level of information. You can't be baptized in that one. No one can baptize in an ankle deep water. It can't take your body. You can't be properly baptized in the knee deep water. So from Ezekiel 47, you move from the ankle deep to the knee deep and then to the waist deep until you get to the water that cannot be passed over. That's flood of revelation that brings you into absolute command in any area of your life where you have moved into that realm. That's very important. Amen. And I'm sure you are getting there this month. God is going to release to you, I'm beginning from today, something very unusual. In Jesus' precious name. Walking in Prosperity, part 2. Spiritual understanding is what defines or determines the quality of our work with God. Say with me, spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding is what determines the quality of the life that we live. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Psalm 119 and verse 145. He said, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. So understanding is key to the quality of our lives. Understanding is key to the quality of our spiritual, our social, our physical, and our material life. If you check the parable of the sower, we are told that which fell on good ground are those who received the word and understandeth it. And they went forth and brought forth fruits. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Now, they were all good grounds. The only variable is their understanding. How many remember that parable? Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. That which fell on good ground are those who received the word of God and understanded it. And the same went forth, and they brought forth fruit in varying degrees. So the level of their understanding is what determines the level of results that they command. And bring forth fruits with patience. So when you understand it, you begin to generate results on the basis of your understanding. Let me share a few thoughts with you before we hit the main thing this morning. God's word says, he that wanders away from the path of understanding, he shall abide in the congregation of the dead. Proverbs 21 and verse 16. So lack of spiritual understanding is what makes you and I not to be different from sinners. Because the soul that sinneth, he shall die. But he said, when you lack understanding, you are in the congregation of the dead. That means your aliveness, if I'm permitted to use that word, is a function of your spiritual understanding. So the quality of your life is a function of your spiritual understanding. For instance, the law of giving has been so misconstrued by a lot of people who think that churches teach prosperity so they can run their ministries. Or it's a game to get things from people so as to get God's work done. But let me treat you to these thoughts gleaned from scriptures. God does not need me for anything. Does that make sense to you? But I need him for everything. Write it down. God does not need me for anything, but I need him for everything. Now, this would help you wake up in your responses to scriptural injunctions. God does not need me for anything, but I need him for everything. He said, if I were hungry, would I have asked you? The thousand lambs upon the thousand heads, they are mine. I do not need you for anything, but you need me for everything. For the silver is mine, saith the Lord, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. God does not depend on me for anything, but I depend on him for everything. Is he not the one that said, woe unto him that trusts in man and maketh flesh his strength? God does not depend on me for anything, but I depend on him for everything. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And except the Lord builds the house, they that build it labor in vain. Psalm 127 verse 1 to 3. Thought number 3. God will never need what I have. They all came from him in the first instance. What have you that you have not received? And if you have received them, why are you posing and bragging as if you made it by yourself? God will never need what I have. They came from him in the first instance. But I will always require his supplies in the hour of need. God cannot be eyeing what he gave you. Imagine your son in the primary school, you gave him some little money, and then there is a need, and you are mentioning the need to someone, and your child thinks that you are depending on the money you gave him. It's a paradox. It doesn't make sense. There will never be a need in heaven where God will say, except my sons in the world wake up, I'm stranded. 1987, 20 years ago, I was on my way to Abba for a seminar with the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship. And I was in the car when the Lord said to me, tell them
that far be it that I, the Almighty, will depend upon your wretched purses. He said, but your wretched purses depend on me for replenishing. Isn't that humbling? He said, tell them. And when I got there, I said, God told me to tell you that he will, is the Almighty God. He will not descend as low as to be depending on the wretched purses of man. But the wretchedness of man always depends on him for supplies. May I say this to you? God is not depending on you, in case you think so. That's why in this church, nobody writes you. There is a need, please wake up. Remember, you promised to give something. Nobody even knows what to promise. It's between you and God. This will help to humble your proud heart. That God is not depending on you, but you are eternally dependent on him. Now listen to this. The ground does not need your seed. It is your seed that needs the ground. Hello? Your seed is giving responsibility to the ground. It's not adding anything to the ground. It's taking from the ground. Does that make sense? The ground does not need your seed. It is you who need fruits that makes your seed need the ground. The ground does not need your seed. It is you who needs the fruit. And your need for the fruits make your seed to need the ground. This will help you balance your thoughts very properly. These philosophical thoughts have kept me flying all these years, that God never needs me. It is me that will forever need him. So every commandment of the Father is designed for my profiting, not for his profiting. Your seed will not make the ground richer. It deprives the ground of its natural nutrients. So what you give and what I give cannot make God become bigger. It can't be bigger than he is. He already fills all in all. There is no more where to fill. Your seed can't make God grow taller. He's already the most high. He's not higher. He's not highest. He's the most high. He's not in the class of any measurement in terms of height. So there is nothing you do or you don't do that tampers with God. That's why I said, I am. What you do can't change me, can't reduce me, can't add to me, can't take from me. So your positive responses to scriptural commandments is adding to you, is not adding to God. Moses said, what will I tell Pharaoh when he asked me who sent you? He said, tell him I am, that I am. Before his father was born, I am. Eh? When he dies, I am. He said, tell Pharaoh I am that I am. Same size, same height, same dignity, same wealth. Everything about God is the same. It is only you that need to go from glory to glory. God is already living in the realm of eternal glory. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. So only you and me need changes. God doesn't need any change. He's the changer of every change. So you need to sit down and speak to yourself. When God said, thou shalt not have any other God, it is not going to affect God, it will affect you. If you have any other God, go away with him. God cannot die. It's only you and me that can die. God cannot be sick, so he doesn't need divine help. So when God says life and death and the power of the tongue, if you like, start speaking death, you die. So every commandment of the Lord is for your good. God doesn't need your tithe. It is you that needs it. When you see what you are doing as you that needs it, then you won't need encouragement in doing it. Because the 100% came from God. He cannot be organizing how to cheat you with 10%. He has power not to give you any percent at all. People are smarter than you are homeless. Many are in mental hospitals today. God is only saying, for your line of supply to be maintained, this is the law. The law is 10% comes to me without negotiation. That registers your line of supply and maintains its flow. I think the fact that we think that God needs what we have is why we most of the time misbehave. And think that if I don't do it, I know nobody will do it. You should be happy you are in a church where nobody knows what you are doing. Aren't you happy? If you give 1 naira, nobody knows. You give 10 kobo. Even if you lift only envelope, nobody will know. Because that envelope too was bought with money, isn't it? So you are giving God envelope to use for whatever thing he needs to. So it is for your good. Say with me, every commandment is for my good. Can you say it more assuredly? This is very important. This will help open up your destiny. It will help open up your response to every scriptural injunction. God does not need me for anything, but I need him for everything. And obedience is the only way to commit him to everything. Obedience, obedience, obedience. This is very important. The ground cannot be bigger with your seed, so God cannot be bigger with your offerings. This understanding will help wake you up. I have been an addicted tither for years, ever since God told me, and it's been changing me from glory to glory on the basis of obedience. I've been an excited giver, both to promoting the kingdom of God and the welfare of mankind, and God is never tired. In fact, he said, I will so bless you that the wicked will gnash with their teeth. Oh, Nicolo and Benny. Is he the only one there? He said they will gnash with their teeth and wish that to die. But God said their desire will perish. That not only him dead there. What's the matter? Some will wait and walk on. When will this man die? He should die. God said, look, he will be there when you die. Because the desire of the wicked shall perish. This is very important. I'd like you to be excited. I'm glad today that there are people in this service who are with me in 1985. There are those who are there in 1986. They are still in this service right now. So this language is not new. I saw it coming. I saw glory. I saw color. And I knew obedience is the gateway to the actualization of this thing. I saw it coming. That as long as I keep doing what he says, you can depend on him to perform his promise. This will free you from any form of religious captivity. I am not helping to build the church. So preachers even confuse people. If you don't do this, it will fail. This program will stop. They are ignorant. Nothing has stopped here once. Because I understand a bit of who the commander of the work is. He won't depend on man to keep you on television. If he hasn't sent you there, get out of the place, we fail. This building was up in 1 year. Canaan land is less than 8 years today that the ground here was broken. And God is doing what he's doing. All this, if you don't give, we are going to perish. You perish quick. In 1986, Pastor Ndubuisi was there in church. I told the people in Kaduna, I said, stop giving today and watch if anything stops. When we make men think that God depends on them, we destroy the men. God is not depending on you. You are the one depending on him. This ministry has no human face that makes it work. In case any of the business heads think that they are calling them so they can believe them or anything, I'm the one who taught you everything you know now. So I can't be depending on what you do. Now you see, you need to humble yourself properly and then position yourself for progress. I hate all those junk on the television. You see, give, you don't give, you're going to fail. Fail quick. Fail now. I've been there for 25 years. This language has never changed once. Who told you God is depending on man? Any preacher who tells you that wants to destroy you. It will stir pride inside you and it will lead to destruction. Everybody's quiet. Amen. Come on, shout hallelujah. I want to show you a vital secret that will keep you flying in prosperity. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The revelation of the love of God is what turns a man into a living wonder on the earth. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by Spirit, for the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. I believe one of the greatest revelations in the race of life is the revelation of the love of God. And because every time you launch into the deep, you are ready for a net breaking, boat sinking, order of breakthrough. He told Peter, launch into the deep for a draught. And Peter obeyed him And then the Bible said, they enclosed great multitude of fishes, that their nets began to break, and they beckoned on their friends to help them, and their boats began to sink. Net breaking, boat sinking, order of breakthrough is available in the deep. And the Bible says love is one of the deep things of God. Come and say deep. So inside that depth lies the mystery of your command in the school of divine supplies. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. It has not entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Everything in God's word answers to the love of God at work in you. A young person ran into Jesus and asked him, Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Matthew 22 verse 36 to 40. And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, upon these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. That means every promise draws validity from this platform. The love of God is what gives value to every other promise of scriptures. If you are not in love, you are lost. If you are not in love, you are limited. If you are not in love, you'll be stranded. The great commandment and the second, those are the two pillars of destiny. The love of God and the love of mankind. They are the two vital forces that gives meaning to scriptures, that gives value to every scriptural promise. This is very important. The first and the great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The first and the great commandment. The first and the great commandment. And when you are in it, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the first and the great commandment, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'd like you to be very, very determined for a change of level this month. It is not what you give that matters, but your attitude in the giving that makes a difference. My Bible said, though I part with all my goods to feed the poor, and I even offer my body to be burnt, and I have no charity, it profited me nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3, it profited me nothing. So it is your law that gives value to every scriptural practice you engage in. It profited me nothing. It profited me nothing. Let me run through these four things and it will help you. This is a faith church. But my Bible says, faith works by love. So the result that your faith delivers is a function of your love for God. Is somebody hearing what I'm talking about? Now, talk about prayers. He said, if you do not forgive them that do you wrong, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your sins. Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. Now, and if your sin is not forgiven, your prayers will not be answered.
Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I had iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not answer my prayers. So prayer works by law. Think of it. Prayer works by love. Faith works by love. And then we have in John chapter 15 and verse 8 downwards. He said, I call you no more servants, but friends. And you know, the bond of friendship is love, isn't it? For a servant does not know what his master does, but all things that I've heard of my father I've made known unto you. So revelation answers to love. Revelation answers to what? Love. Revelation answers to love. So think of prayer not working, insight not coming, faith not working. What remains of a man is dead. He's dead. He has nothing to show for life. That's why I want to appeal to everyone here today. Understand what I'm saying. The love of God in our hearts and acts is what qualifies us for the best from God. It is our heart for God that entitles us for the best from God. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. It has not entered to the heart of any man what God has prepared for them that love him. We have some giants of scriptures that prove the validity of that scripture. Think of Abraham. What is love? Whosoever has my commandment and keeps it, he is he that loves me. Abraham kept every commandment God gave him because he loved God. And he became the friend of God. And see how blessed Abraham was. The Bible said Abraham was old and sickened in age, and the Lord has blessed him in everything. Genesis 24 verse 1. And the Lord has blessed him in everything. Not just blessed financially, blessed in every area of his life. When you are in love, you are a candidate for his unusual blessings, strange blessings. Job was another man that was in love. In spite of his challenges, he remained stuck to God. And my Bible said the later end of Job was greater than the former. He was the greatest before. At the end of his challenges, he became greater than his greatness before the challenges. I don't care where you are, if you maintain your love for God, no matter how the story may look today, there will be a change of story. There will be a change of story. There will be a change of story. Think of David, a man after God's own heart. From the records of 1 Chronicles 29, and verse 3 to 9, we saw the enormity of David's wealth. I think it was the wealth of Solomon that did not allow us to recognize how wealthy David was. David was an unusually wealthy man. When it came to giving for the building of the house of God, he outgave all the elders of Israel as one man. One translation of the Bible says something very interesting here, which I noted. Very interesting. He said, furthermore, because my heart is in this, I'm reading verse 3 of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In addition to and beyond what I have gathered, I am turning over my personal fortune of gold and silver for making this place of worship for my God. I like that translation. I'm turning over my personal fortune of gold and silver. They talk about the gold they gave. They say it is the weight of 3,000 men. Come and say 3,000 men. And the silver they gave was the weight of 7,000 men. That man was strange. His personal fortune. Come and say personal fortune. Somebody will tell a greater story here in future. He said, because my heart is in this. My heart is in this. My heart is in this. Because wherever your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Wherever your heart is, there also your treasure will be. So David's heart was with God, was in God's program, so his personal fortune could flow in there. Where your heart is, there will your treasures be also. May I say this therefore in this great service this morning. The love of God is the gateway to a world of financial wonders. The love of God is the gateway to a world of financial wonders. What is the proof of his love in our life? There are two quick definitions. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, it is his love that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3. It is his love that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So it is in what we are doing with his word that we give expression to our love for him. So obedience is one of the proofs of love. John chapter 14 and verse 21. Whosoever has my commandments and keeps it, he is he that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I will show up in his affairs. I will manifest myself to him. John 14, 21. So it's not just singing, I love you more than anything. I love you more than anyone. I love you, Lord, I give my life to you. It's beyond that. Let us therefore not just love in words, but in truth and in deed. So it is the love of God in you is in the doings of your life. What are you doing with his word? Whosoever has my commandment and keeps it, he is he that loves me, and he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will give, manifest myself to him. So the love of God is expressed in our obedience to his commandment. I remember when God said to me, this is the place. Strange. But I would rather lose my place in ministry obeying God than following my feelings. And one of our respected elders here said to me, what of those who are not able to come this far, particularly among the old people? I said, that's why there are many other churches around in town. They are free to flow to any of those churches around, but I will follow God. Obedience is the cardinal proof of our love for God. It's not just singing and wearing wonderful dress on Sunday. is your practical obedience to him at the risk of everything. A number of people thought that when the church moved there, the church would die. Obedience does not lead to death, it leads to life. I have decided not to adjust his commandment. I want to take it raw and swallow it all. He said, as you pastor this one church, the whole world will become your parish, for I've chosen you to serve your generation. So we don't have churches in town and parishes across the street because we are commanded not to. And see what God is doing today. Obedience will always lead to life. It is obedience that leads to death. Do you really love him? He said to Peter, Simon, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? He said, Lord, do you know I love you? He said, feed my lambs. Simon, Simon, lovest me more than these? He said, I love you, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. That is always what you are to do to prove that you love him. John 21 verse 15 to 17. Simon, Simon, lovest thou me more than this, the third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. And you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. I'm not satisfied with your convincing words. Go and do what I say to prove that you love me. Here you are, paying your tithe is an uphill task. Giving your offering is an harrowing task. Supplying for your family, your immediate family, your nucleus family, they have to pray and fast for you to know you are responsible. And the Bible said, if a man provides not for his house and for the people of his own household, he had denied the faith and is what an infidel. I have no covenant with him. Any man that is not looking after his family, I have no covenant with him. God's word said, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment of the law, that it may be well with you. And then you remember your father and your mother only when you are going home on Christmas. That's why it's not well with so many people. Because they flout God's commandment with their own funny reasons. Some even say some sacrilegious things about their parents. My father was a useless man. Death. You are playing with death. You are playing with death. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Don't toy with death. You can't change your father. You can't change your mother. And every time you are surrounded and you desire a turnaround, it's a rear an altar of sacrifice. What do? You rear an altar of sacrifice. Because the altar of sacrifice is the altar of turnaround. You rear an altar of sacrifice. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. There was our tongues filled with laughter. And our tongues were singing. And we became the talk of the town. The Lord has done great things for them. And they say, oh, we better tell you how we did it. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. You are surrounded because you don't believe in the law of sacrifice. Psalm 126, Psalm verse 1 to 6. You are surrounded because you don't believe in the law of sacrifice. Now, all these are scriptural fundamentals in the school of prosperity. My Bible said, he that deceives a prophet in the name of a prophet, he shall receive a prophet's reward. So there are agents, divine agents among men who carry your rewards by divine design. And when you sow into such lives, certain things are released on you which could not have been there before. I called that years ago, and I'm in the practice of it. And I have multifaceted grace coming from various sources working on my life.
This is very important. Keeping his commandments is one of the vital proofs of our love for him. And number two, giving. Come and say giving. God so loved the world. What did he do? Everywhere you talk of love, in fact, New Old Testament defines it as charity. And charity means service to humanity. Making life better for others. Giving. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me read that with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We have this very important word here. 2 Corinthians 8. Thank you, Jesus. Paul was writing about the giving life of the Macedonian churches. And he said in verse 7 to all of us, he said, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterances, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 8, giving is one way of proving the sincerity of our love. If you are not a giver, you are not a lover. Everyone gives to what he loves. The drunkards give to the beer palace. The adulterers give to the call girls. The smokers give to cigarette companies. Everyone gives in the direction of his love. If you love God, you will give without any constraints. You will give without any tension. Most people give to telephone more than they will ever give to their family. They love calling. So they give to service their cause. He will put 3,000 down to feed the family wicked, the whole month. And he will buy recharge card to recharge his life. 9,000 in the same month. Everybody gives in the direction of his love. I love reading. So I invest. I don't spend. I invest into materials. I don't have any concern when I get into a bookstore and I'm in search of certain materials and I found them. I may want to sell my shoes to buy it. But there are shoes I would never buy because the cost is more than my leg. Amen. I tell you a very funny story. Many years ago, one of my sons here is in service this morning. I sent him to buy me a pair of shoes. And my own buying for such things is budgeted. I'm budgetly constrained. So when I give you 200 naira to buy me a pair of shoes, that is the one to look for, not that to find one that is 250. So he came back and showed me the shoe that, he said, this shoe is very good. I said, how much? He told me. I said, does he have engine? Praise God. Amen. I said, I don't need it. When I send you with 200 naira, the only way you can get well done from me is to get one that is 150 and bring me 50 naira change. But don't buy one that is 210. I don't need it. Amen. But if a book, the price has jumped up four times, and I find it, I will buy it with joy that I found it at last. But not a shirt, not a tie, because it's only to tie your neck, it's not doing anything more for you. So, you understand what I'm saying? So, it's so important for you to define where your heart is. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be also. When it's time to do it for Jesus, I do it mercilessly. We had an occasion for some bit of challenge many years ago, and this challenge was not by our design. A man pledged to give something by himself, not in a church service. He came and said, oh, how much is this thing? And we told him, he said, I'm going to give it. And so, because I was a younger pastor, like I announced to the leaders, I said, somebody has written off that bill, but he couldn't deliver. And in order not to expose him to the ridicules of others, we decided to absorb the strain of paying that without getting back to church to let anybody know that that bill was pending. And in the course of doing that, we gave all givables in our family. And one day, my precious son, Bishop Obioye, called me and said, they need so much for this thing. I said, except my body. Everything givable has been given. Friends, when you throw out for God, you are building a great future. I'd like you to take advantage of the thing you are hearing today to redefine where your heart is. And watch what happens. Giving is a proof of the sincerity of our love. Your obedience to his word and your giving life, they are the proofs of your love for him. And the Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man what God has reserved for them that love him. He said, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep, deep things of God. I've written about 60 books to date. You can read all the books and line up all the principles, but until you discover my heartbeat for God, you don't know my secret. The secret of my simple life is a heart for God that is untiring and undying, that is growing with unusual passion. That is the secret of the testimonies of my little life. Can you imagine a pastor from the beginning, not sometime later, who never knocked on anybody's door for an aid, and yet all his needs were met, and never once indebted? From the days of earning 300 naira in a month, 100 naira plus the love of God equals eternal supplies. Can't stop it. Every pastor looks for what number to assist them. I look for what members to assist. From the beginning till now, we sit in our little church in those days, and I look around, and while we are singing, somebody is not singing, I tell my associate, look at that man, number three from that road, from that wall. Get him for me after the service. Let's find out why he's not smiling. Church was small. We knew everybody. And by the time he said, what's happening? What's going on, sir? How are you doing? And then he burst into tears. Why? We had the next meal will come. He doesn't know. And then we share from the little that we have. Go ahead. You'll never be in that situation again. In the name of Jesus. One woman met me when we were staying right over there. The church was still under construction, and she burst into tears. Maybe she's in church here this morning. And I said, what's the matter? He said, where the next meal will come, I don't know. Then I reached my hand in my pocket, and everything that was available there, I put in her hand. I said, you'll never be in that situation again. Less than 3 months after, a massive turnaround for her. A massive turnaround for her. There is nothing that guarantees your place in God than the genuineness of your love for him and for humanity. God so loved, he wasn't singing, Now God so loved and he sang a new song. Is that what he did? God so loved and he gave. God so loved and he beat the drum. Is that what he did? God so loved and he gave. God so loved and he gave. No matter what other thing you do, until you are a giver, you are not a lover. Until you are a giver, you are not a lover. Giving is a proof of the sincerity of your love for God. That's what that scripture says. The question then is, lovest thou me more than this? In 1976, the love of God erupted in my soul. And the eruption of 1976 is still speaking in my life today. Has come to a point in my life where whatever God cannot do, let it remain undone. I will not bow my head to any bow. Wherever God cannot take me to, let me never get there. As for this God, I must not lose him. Whatever God cannot give me, may I never have it, no matter who carries it in his hand. You need to redefine the place of God in your life to walk in true and lasting prosperity. You need to redefine the place of God in your life. You need to redefine. And if you truly love God, it will pour out to men around you. How can you say you love God whom you cannot see when you don't love your men, your brethren whom you can see? Your love is fake when it's not flowing over to humanity. Your love is fake when it's not flowing over to other men and women around you. We did a classical teaching on Friday night on liberality. Amen. It's an extension, an expression of your love for God that makes you flow to others. The food that only you, your wife, and children are eating will soon finish. You need to find someone else to give something into his house, into his mouth. You need to clothe someone else so you not become naked tomorrow. Some children around you are not going to primary school, and your entertainment money per day is more than what they need per term. And yet you say, I just bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have a good story, and you do nothing. And you do nothing. There is one that scattereth and yet has more. And there is one that withholds more than he requires and intends more unto penury. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall himself be watered unto. I want to plead with you today. Redefine the place of God in your life. Your heartbeat for God is what determines the marks you make on the earth. As I close this morning, this is the plea of heaven. My son, give me your heart. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. We had a teaching the other time on the mystery of the greatest seed, and I use this scripture as the anchor scripture. Your heart is your greatest asset. When your heart packs up, your biological heart packs up, your life terminates. He said, give me your heart, give me your best, give me your all, and watch what happens. You'll never meet a genuine God lover who does not end up a high flyer. Every genuine God lover ends up a high flyer. Every genuine lover of God ends up a high flyer on the earth. He said, I will manifest myself to him. The whole world will know I am at work around his life. The whole world will know I am in his business. The whole world will know I'm in his family. The whole world will know I am behind him. When you have God behind you, you are sure to end up a frontliner. You can't have his backing and still remain backward. The backing of God qualifies you for the front line. You have stayed around enough at the back. It is your turn to get a place on the front line. And all you need is give him your heart, and you will enjoy his backing, and that will give you your place in the front line. This is very important. My son, give me your heart. According to scriptures, talking about the grace of God upon the Macedonian church, the Bible says in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 8, 5, he said, this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave themselves unto the Lord. They first did what? You see, your giving life will be limited until you give yourself to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. He said, this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave themselves unto the Lord, and then unto us by the will of God. So when you give in yourself truly to God, your giving life becomes unlimited. Your giving life becomes what? Your giving life becomes unlimited. Your giving life becomes unlimited. And when your giving life becomes unlimited, you enter into the realms of unlimited breakthroughs. Say with me, unlimited breakthroughs. Unlimited breakthroughs. The question then is, do you really love him? You say, I do. Now, how do you prove that? Do you keep his commandments that has been released and delivered to you? Is your giving life genuine, or you are having just a religious game? Are you giving on the basis of love, or just giving on the basis of returns? There are two different things. Are you giving to prove your love, or you are giving to enjoy returns? This should go deep into the hearts of all saints that are in the service here this morning, and all those along with us on the net and through every other form of media. What is the motivation behind your giving life? Is it the love of God or the love of returns? The love of God guarantees returns. But when return becomes a motivation, frustration becomes the end result. Do you really love him? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by Spirit, for the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep, deep things of God. Welcome to the deep this morning, and watch what becomes of your covenant work from now, if you will make the right decision. I met Jesus, 19th of February 1969. I'm 37 years young in the faith. I don't have one moment of regret following him in my madness. I preached my first message, 1970. That's a few days now. I don't have the first regret following him with my madness. This madness is being converted gradually to greatness. Even our enemies could see it. I'd like to invite you to join this order of madness this morning, because your greatness is hid in that madness. To see every kingdom project as an opportunity for advancement. To see every needy around you as an opportunity to prove your love for God. To service the needs of humanity with joy and delight. We may not have been able to reach everybody here as a family, but I know within us we are reaching one another. Reaching one another and helping and assisting. That is Christianity. Remove the love of God in action. Christianity is another miserable religion. It is the love of God that makes the difference. Let's go ahead and express it more than we have ever done. If you truly love him, prove it. The lovers of cigarettes are given tirelessly to smoke. The lovers of hard drugs, miserable people, they will sell everything they can sell their children. Everybody gives in the direction of his love. Let's now define which direction our love is going and commit ourselves to it. It's wonderful to sit in a great church, but it's better to live a great life. The secret of a great life is your obedience to the word of God. I do believe there's no one here who is in doubt as to the fact that tithing is a commandment. How many believe that tithing is a commandment? You won't. Did you hear what I'm saying? You have heard everything except that question. You didn't hear a word. Now, how many believe that tithing is a commandment here? Lift your hand if you believe that. Now, the next question, you don't have to lift your hand, but how many are true tithers? It's another question to answer to yourself. Just yourself. How many are genuine, excited, cheerful, joyful tithers? It's a question that demands a silent response. How many believe that giving in the church is a commandment? Say, you shall not appear before me empty. Paul the apostle said, on the first day of the week, lay aside, organize what you are going to give when you come. But the question is, how many are truly given? Yes, we give, but the Bible said, honor the Lord with thy substance, not thy leftover, not the change you collected from newspaper stands. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy vats shall burst out with new wine and oil. It has to be a substance, not a leftover. It is planned and set aside, according to Paul the Apostle. Not you get to church and start looking for, okay, my offering today. Ash, I forgot at home. God of heaven, you know everything. Honor thy father and thy mother. How many set apart things for their parents? On regular basis. Not when you see somebody going to the village. On regular basis. There are many sleeping on beds of gold, and their parents are sleeping on mat in a mud house. What a honor. There are those who entertain all kinds of people, and their parents hardly have access to protein. They take only carbohydrate day and night. Honor thy father and thy mother. We know this commandment, but are we keeping it? I know a number of people here have been in this for years because you have been teaching it so hard. It is every month you package something for your parents. He said, I thank God my parents are dead. What they should have been doing when they were alive? Package to service something. That's what makes it work. Our parents, my wife and I, those who are still alive and those who have died before they died, they were eating with comfort. They don't have to pray for it. It is regular transmission by a covenant sense of responsibility with joy and gladness. Can't you have that responsibility? He said that it may be well with you. You won't lose one job today, get another one tomorrow, get out of it next week, that it may be well with you. You won't have great sales today, and for the next 3 months, nobody is branching your shop, that it may be well with you. Worst thing, there are people here who don't mind their immediate family, and they go to church more than God. Before God arrives, every service they have arrived. Even when God has left after service, they are still there. But to budget for their family that will make it honorable to their level, no way. When you need pepper, you have to look for them because there's no budget. What's your pepper? The one yesterday, have you finished it? Pepper, every day pepper. You don't have to go through that. Amen. You budget according to the covenant demand. 1 Timothy 5:8. If any man provide not for his house and for the people of his own household, he has denied the faith. It's worse than an infidel. An infidel is a younger brother of the devil. That's why they call it inferior devil. Infidel. Amen. Well, no matter whether the children are eating, whether the family is eating or not, that is not Christianity. That is demonism. He says it's worse than an infidel. He has no covenant with me. I won't mind him. Are we hearing? I don't feel like ending this teaching. I know somebody is very excited about it. Amen. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. I want a change from this morning. Let all householders get back home and redefine their budget for the family so they won't be worse than infidels. Get back home and redefine your budget for your parents so it can be well with you. Get back home and redefine your offerings, every service. I've been doing that now for many, many years. Every year I know what goes to every service, wherever I go to that service, notwithstanding. I don't budget my tithe along with my income. It is separated from it for eternity. Let's get back and prove our love for God. It's not just about singing. It becomes meaningful after we have done it and you sing it, then you tear up heaven to respond. How many are said to love God more than they have ever done? Stand to your feet.
Bishop Dindi Igbo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Igbo, 21688, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Or call 817-9670, 817-9671, 817-9672, 817-9673, and 817-9674. Or send your testimony through the email bishop@winningskingdomland.org. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Kingdomland, Kilometer 10, Ijiroko Road, Ota. On Wednesday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. On Sunday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. God bless you.